give thanks with a grateful heart for what the Lord has done. I just got to tell you a little bit. I got to brag on you guys a little bit. I am absolutely having the time of my life. And I say that because God has given me the awesome privilege of watching you grow. When I think back how long I've known most of you, some of you I've known since we came 6.5 or so years ago. Some of you I've met even just this last year, I guess. But to watch what the Lord is doing in your lives and to have the honor and privilege of being a part of that and having an inside, it's like I get the backstory because I get to know a little bit about really what's going on. And to watch God move and to watch you respond is amazing. It's amazing. And I am loving it. Because God's doing some great stuff. God's doing some great stuff. And don't forget, come back tonight. You know, this book is full of history. It's full of His story. And it's full of God's miraculous movings and His design, His plan, and how we read these awesome and fantastic stories of miraculous things happening. And it's easy to get caught up in the thought that, wow, God was really good back then. Oh, man, is He still good now? He is still good now. So I'm telling you, if you don't make it back tonight, you're going to miss out. So you need to make a point to be here tonight. Just a story of God's continued faithfulness and how God is still in the miracle working business, how He is still moving and touching and changing and healing and doing things even right now. And most of you know what I'm talking about. I mean, because you've experienced things like that in your life. God is just as real today as He's ever been. Turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to read a passage to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, about 6 or 7 verses, something like that. I'm going to read to you, beginning in verse 5. This was laid on my heart. Actually, while I was up in Illinois, and it's interesting how God works in me in preparation for sermon material. He used a lot of my personal circumstances and things going on and issues and things that I know other people are going through. He uses some of that stuff, and it seems like there's been a common kind of theme over the last several weeks about hardships, suffering, that kind of stuff. And the truth is, we have our share of that. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, it says here, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. I put some extra evers in there, but that's what it implied, because eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that's how long my God's going to be glorified. I got a news flash for you. I was reading on the internet. A story about Facebook in the news and how there's been a lot of fake news on Facebook. Has any of y'all seen the fake news? You know, yeah, you see that. Well, I got a news flash for you, and this is not fake news. This is the real deal, okay? News flash. The devil doesn't like you. Now, some of you may be hearing that for the first time. But I'm telling you, he does not like you. He has no interest in you. He just has interest in pulling you away from the one who made you. From the one who made you. The old devil he's crafty, he's sneaky. He is absolutely very, very real. His minions, his demonic forces that he has. You remember Scripture tells us that a whole third of the heavenly host was cast out with Lucifer from heaven. And that third of a heavenly host, it's a large number. There's no number put to it, but it's a whole bunch. And they're all out to get us. In verse 6, there's a statement here. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. There's an old saying that I heard when I was growing up. It says this, don't get too big for your britches. Now, that can be taken more than one way. Because there was a time when I definitely got too big for my britches and I had to go buy bigger britches. And then buy bigger britches. And then buy bigger britches. And you know, some of you that know of my story and my weight loss that I had, I've still got a pair of britches that both I can get in one leg and Aaron can get in the other leg, because those britches were big. But I got even too big for those britches at one time. Don't get too big for your britches. The devil wants you to think more of yourself than what you should. The devil wants you to think, it's all you, bro. The devil wants you to think, man, if it's going to happen, it's up to you. The devil wants you to think that you're really better than what people say you are. You just need to keep doing your own thing and make yourself happy. The devil wants you to think that it's all about you. The devil wants you to think that everybody's out to get you, and you just got to take care of yourself, look out for old number one. The devil wants you to think more of yourself than you should, but God says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. God wants us to humble ourselves so that in due time He can elevate you for His glory. What is due time? It's God's time. It's in His due time. He wants to elevate us for His glory. There are two things mentioned in this passage. Humble yourself. And then also in verse 7, cast your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Maybe the version you have says, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Now, I will be honest with you. When I read this years and years ago, when I grew up with this passage, and I thought that was the command. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. The problem is that sometimes we don't cast our cares upon Him because we've not properly humbled ourselves to the point to where we recognize that God is the only one who can help. When we read this passage, we often think that the command is to cast our cares upon Him. It's not necessarily the command that God is giving. The command is to humble ourselves And as a result of the humbling, we will cast our cares upon Him. You see, when we come to the point when we make ourselves little, and we say, I'm in over my head. There's more than I can handle. I don't know what to do here. I am not all that in a bag of chips. When we humble ourselves, then we realize how much we really do need to cast upon the Lord. You see, you can't just cast stuff on God thinking, well, I could probably handle this on my own, but I'm going to go ahead and ask old God to do it anyway. Some of y'all are looking at me like, who on earth would ever think that? Come on now, let's get honest. Let's get honest. The command is to humble ourselves. You know what humbled means? It comes from the same root word that we get humiliation from. Humiliated. When you think of humiliated, you think of, oh, down low, embarrassed. You think of, been exposed. Everybody knows stuff now. I'm humiliated. I can't show my face in public. It's the same root word. God says, make yourself that way. Of your own volition. Humble yourself. Put yourself in your proper place. Not elevated in your mind, but really what is real. Put yourself in proper place, one who has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, who deserves eternal damnation for all of eternity, who has no way to reach eternal life with the Father except through Jesus Christ. No way of your own. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. You can't give enough. You can't serve enough to get it, to earn it. The only way is through Jesus Christ. And when you humble yourself and say, I can't do it. I need to rely upon Jesus Christ for my salvation. When you get to that point, that is humbling. And when you humble yourself, you really see how much you really need. And God says, now that you've put yourself in the proper position and you've elevated me to my proper position, and that's a weird statement, I know, because we can't elevate God more than He is. Okay? But the truth is when we say that, when we lift up His name and all that, it's not that His name needs to be lifted up any higher. We just need to recognize how high His name truly is. When we recognize who we are and who God is, when you truly do that, you have to be humbled. To think that the God of all creation, who could do away with me with the breath of His nostril, wants to work through me. That's humbling. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Right there in verse 5. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. You see, the command is to humble yourselves. Okay? And as a result of that, you will cast your anxieties, your cares upon the Lord. Now, you don't have to be a preacher to have a bullseye on your back. I got news for you. Verse 9 tells us that we are not alone. It says, resist him standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You ever heard the phrase, misery loves company? Well, if you're struggling, if you're in misery, if you've been suffering, guess what? You got good company, because you are not alone in that. Now, that may not help you, except to know that you're not the only one. People have said, with some of the physical things that I've been fighting and going through with this neck stuff that I've got going on, and how one thing after another, I fall off the ladder and bang myself up pretty good the other day, and Rebecca's even made the comment, you know, the devil just wants to take me out. And I believe that there is truth to that. Of course the devil wants to take me out. You know, I'm the leader of the flock here. I'm the one that people look towards for whatever, as far as the leader of this congregation. Yes, the devil wants to take me out, but guess what? He wants to take you out too. I'm not so special that he only wants to take me out. He has a bullseye on your back just as big as the target that's on mine. You see, we're not alone in that either. We're not alone. He'll take whoever he can get. He goes around roaming like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Destroy is the word there. Scripture says that the devil comes only to seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't read in there anywhere where it says the devil's going to give you a good time. You may think it's a good time, but that process is leading to destruction. It's leading to stealing. It's a theft of your joy, of your future, of your children's future, of your children's security, and to destroy. Don't you know he loves to destroy families? He loves to destroy relationships. He loves to destroy churches. He loves to destroy homes. He's a rotten scoundrel. I got other words, but I'm in the pulpit and I'll refrain from using those words. The Bible says to resist him. Standing, get this, in your faith, not in your strength. Not in your strength. Knowing that you're not alone. Others are fighting the same type of struggles. And by faith, receiving the grace of the Lord to be victorious. There are, just as you can talk about people who are struggling and suffering, you can hear just as many stories about people who have become victorious over addictions, over tragedies, over family splits, over division, over, you'll read stories about people who've gotten a divorce only to come back and get remarried again. That's a reconciliation that's like awesome. And when you have suffered a little while. Now, how long is that? How long is a little while? Because I want to be encouraging to you. But time and God, I mean, there's some issues where he set certain time thing there, but to God, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. So what's a little while compared to 1,000 years? 100? Well, if I live to be 100 years, that's my whole lifetime. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Except that he says, when you've suffered a little while, he himself, God himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I was praying with a large number of folks this morning. Obviously, there's hurt. There's pain, there's suffering, there's sickness, there's you name it. And we're dealing with that stuff. And God says, it's just part of it. It's part of the deal. You're going to go through some of that stuff. How you go through it does matter, though. Okay? How you go through it does matter. And when you have suffered a little while, standing firm in the faith, keeping your faith, understanding that I, by casting your cares upon me, after you've humbled yourself, trusting in me. You see, the thing is that anything you're suffering or going through, now we like to say that anything good comes from God, anything bad comes from the devil. Okay? And there's validity to that. However, we also know that nothing can come to you without God's permission. Okay? So I'm not saying that cancer is of God. I'm not saying that broken homes is of God, but that God, you read the story of Job, doesn't come without God's permission. Now, why does he do that? It's to grow us. Maybe part of that is the humbling process, to humble us, to where we get to such a low point, we cry out and say, God, you're the only hope for me right now. For any time. You're my only hope, period. And I cry out to you. if it takes suffering to bring you to that point, God will do that. God will do that. Here's a tough one, though. When you're faithful and you're living and honoring God, sometimes suffering still comes. Sometimes that suffering may not be for you, but it may be for somebody else who's watching you. Maybe for somebody else who needs to see God's miraculous strength and power displayed here and now. Would you give up on that opportunity for God to allow God to touch someone's life and change their life for all of eternity? Stand strong. Not in your strength, because the truth is, you can be overpowered by the old devil. He's tricky, he's crafty, and he is not some weak little... It says he's like a roaring lion. How many of you want to step into a cage with a roaring lion? But my God is stronger. My God is bigger. I read a story about this guy who was cast into a den of lions. And because God said, he's off limits for you guys. No hors d'oeuvres, no snacks. This is, you're in a fast right now, lions. You're not eating anything until tomorrow. And then I've got food for you coming tomorrow. Read the story of Daniel. It's awesome. It's awesome because the next day when they pulled Daniel out of the lion's den, unscathed, it was like taking a nap and cuddling up with the lions or something. So they took the bad guys and threw them down there and they ate them up. It wasn't because they weren't hungry. This is because God's hand was on Daniel. And he said, nuh-uh. Just like he says to the waves, you can only come this far, waves. You got to stop right here. This is the shoreline. You see, all that is under God's control. The situations, the circumstances in your life is under God's control. He doesn't do it just willy-nilly. He doesn't do it just to have a good time. Go, I wonder what would happen here. No, that's not how God works. God always has a plan, and He always has a purpose. If you're struggling, ask God what the purpose is. He will show you. Because He doesn't just sit up there and just enjoy watching you struggle. It's always for a purpose. It's always for a purpose. If you'll ask Him, He'll show you. He'll show you. Stay steadfast. Stay firm in the faith, trusting and knowing that our God is bigger than any problem you've got. And that in due time, He will elevate you for His glory. I don't know what due time is, except when He gets good and ready. When He gets good and ready. When the work that he desires to be done has been done, it's due time. It's due time. You ever check out a library book? Some of you have to go way back, okay? Check out a library book. There's a due date. You know when that date is. If you get a bill, there's a due date on that bill. You know when it's due. And if you don't pay it, they call you or they send you a letter that's different color, paper, right? And they tell you you're past due. Well, let me tell you something. God is never past due. He is always right on time. Right on time. But sometimes that due time depends on how you react and how you work and how you allow God to work through you in that situation and in that circumstance. So what is your due time? That's between you and God. God knows it, and He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. I will tell you this. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, it's due time. It's due time. It's due time that you humbled yourself and cried out and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need You. I need You to save me. The Bible tells me that there is only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. And I want to do that. I want to know more about that. If that's you, I would love to talk with you down right here in the front, right in front of everybody. right in front of everybody, because God says if you're ashamed of me in front of people, in front of man, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father. That's one of the reasons why we do this in the front. We say, come on down. Because by taking that step out, you're saying, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to admit that I can't do this on my own. I'm not ashamed to admit that I need Jesus Christ. If that's you, let me encourage you to come. It's quite possible that you're here today and you have been struggling and you've been stuck in an attitude that says, why me? Why now? What have I done? What have I done to deserve this? And maybe today you're saying, wow, the Lord has spoken to me, and I understand that in due time, if I will stay steadfast and firm in my faith, God will elevate me in due time. In due time. And I'm interested in being receptive to allowing God to accomplish everything He wants to accomplish in me in His time, so that I may be elevated to His glory. The altar is going to be open. I'm always here in the front. And folks, listen. From when Mark rings the bell out front to start our service to the last amen is said, I'm always available. I've never experienced it yet, Hal. You mentioned it the other day. If in the middle of my preaching, somebody needs a touch, somebody needs to be prayed for, somebody needs to give their life to Christ, we're going to stop the show, we're going to stop everything and take care of business. Never happened yet. It might. I would love for that to happen. Somebody to say, I'm not going to wait any longer. God wants me to respond right now. I'm going to do it right now. And let me tell you something. Talk about due time. If that's you, folks, this is your time. I'll be here in the front. My wife, Rebecca, she will be here with me. Y'all know that, you know, we're a team. We're a partner. We're partners. And so that's why I ask her to be up here. For one, just because we're unified as a team. The other thing is that I know that sometimes, especially if you're a woman, you want to pray with a woman, and that's one of the reasons why she's up here. But this is your time. This is your time. Is it due time for you? I don't know. Father in heaven, we are here today and we've honored you. We've praised you. We've sung your name. We've lifted your name up high, Father. We recognize your holiness. Father, we've opened your word. We've got encouragement from your word that tells us that we're not alone. That yes, we will struggle. We will have sufferings. But it's not just for suffering's sake. That it's not for a waste. You don't waste anything, Lord. And that when we have suffered a little while, you will elevate us to your glory. So, Father, I pray that someone is encouraged by that. I pray that someone is challenged by that. And Father, I pray that someone would respond to your call on their life today. Maybe it's for salvation. Maybe it's to come back. Maybe it's to dive deeper. Father, it may be that there's enough people in this room that all of those things are true at the same time for somebody, for different people in this room. Lord, what we pray is that you would have your will and have your way in this room, that we would respond to your purpose. In Jesus' name.